The gap between the rich and the poor seems to be widening. And charitable contributions have remained relatively level at about 2% of our gross domestic product, despite the fact that we live in the era of the new economy, in which more and more of us are prospering. Is our world better for this? Take a moment to answer these questions. Does every child in America and around the world go to bed with a full stomach and a loving hug from someone who cares? Is all of the possible research being done to cure devastating diseases? Can every qualified student afford a college education? Do the homeless have a warm place to rest their heads at night? Some would argue that these problems don't belong to them. Their pat answers include, "I made it in life without anything being handed to me." If they bothered to get a job, they wouldn't be homeless. "I worked my own way through college." If we cure one disease, a new one will crop up anyway. This is a job for the government. But the truth is, a pat answer has never solved a problem. It takes dedicated people, devoted time, and donated dollars to solve problems. Giving of talent, time, and money can hurt. It can mean sacrifice. An individual who gives may have to forego a new computer or season tickets to a favorite sporting event. A family that gives may have to pass on 2 extra days of their vacation or a bigger audio system in the new car. A corporation that gives may not be able to reassure its shareholders with the answers they demand. A church or synagogue that gives may have to forget about its own perceived needs for a new video projection system or some other elaborate, costly improvement to its facilities. The flip side is that giving has tremendous rewards. These rewards can become evident in a variety of dimensions: emotional, relational, financial, and even spiritual. It is our privilege to introduce to you the wondrous nature of those rewards. We invite you to join us on a journey to discover the joys of giving and the impact that the generosity factor can have on your life. Ken Blanchard and S. Truett Cathy. The broker. "I love having money," the broker thought to himself as he stepped through the front door of his imposing Long Island home and into the brisk October morning. "And I'd love that I made it all on my own." The young, trim man with an athletic build was pleased that his limousine was parked as close to the entrance as possible. He pulled his coat collar up around his neck and rushed past the driver, who held the car door open. "Grab the 3 bags just inside the door, would you?" the broker asked in a manner that suggested he fully anticipated that his request would be fulfilled without question. He seldom carried anything for himself these days. His computer bag, perhaps, but that was about it. He slid into the back seat and the driver gently but securely closed the door. A few seconds later, the driver placed the bags in the trunk and got behind the wheel. "Could you turn the heat up a bit?" "Yes, sir," the driver obliged. The broker picked up the copy of that day's edition of his preferred financial publication. It had been placed on the seat next to him, something he had come to expect in a matter-of-fact sort of way. He quickly flipped to page 3 to read his favorite biweekly column, The Personal Side. This column was written by an engaging reporter who explored such topics as health and wellness, personal growth, diet and exercise. The broker could almost feel himself getting healthier as he read. The low-carb diet, changing your metabolism, was the subject of the column. The broker had not always been this concerned about his personal health and well-being. As the heir to old money, though he had not yet inherited it, he was privileged to have been in the position to enjoy every advantage life has to offer. He attended a highly regarded graduate business school, but may have attained his MBA more because of his father's financial support of the school than his own smarts. That's not to say that he didn't study hard throughout his college career. He studied hard between off-campus keggers. He studied hard between drug-laced parties and ski trips. He studied hard between binge weekends with fast young friends who did not have their futures in the forefront of their minds. He studied just hard enough to be awarded the parchment, although he ranked only in the dead middle of his class. His father, hoping to leave a legacy in the financial world, invited the young, newly graduated